Have you ever gone through something and wondered, what is God doing? Maybe you've been brought there through some difficult disease or a tragic death, or maybe even through all of the disruption that's gone on in our world. It seems that at some point or another, we all end up in a place where we're grieved and hurting or scared, and we look up and wonder, what is going on? I don't get it. As I was reading in the Gospel of John recently, I realized that we have a record of one of these moments, a time when people were hurting and had a hard time understanding what was going on. But in this story, we get to see how things work out. And in seeing the end of it, I think we can find hope for the times when we are in those places. So would you join me in John chapter 11? John 11. The story begins with a family that is dear to Jesus. At verse 1, it says, "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sisters sent word to him, saying, 'Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick.'" We know that this must have been a pretty serious illness because it wasn't more than a few days that Lazarus died. So in due time, Jesus did make his way over to Bethany where Lazarus had lived. Look at what happens when he arrives. Jump down to verse 17 with me. In verse 17, it says, "So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. Many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him. But Mary stayed at the house. Martha then said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you.'" Seems like Martha is in one of those places. Grieved, hurting, wondering, "Lord, if you had been here." We can almost feel those words as we read them. But Martha is not the only one feeling this way. Jump down to verse 32. "Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.'" Even though Jesus did not make it in time to heal Lazarus, as it seems they expected him to, we know he was not indifferent to the situation. Keep reading at verse 33. "When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled, and said, 'Where have you laid him?' They said to him, 'Lord, come and see.' Jesus wept. So the Jews were saying, 'See how he loved him.'" See, Jesus loved Lazarus, and he loved the people who were grieving over Lazarus. He cared, and he wept, even though he knew how this was going to turn out. So let's read how this turns out, where we picked up at verse 37. "But some of them said, 'Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man also from dying?' So Jesus, again, being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, 'Remove the stone.' Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, 'Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead 4 days.' Jesus said to her, 'Did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?' So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, 'Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." The man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done believed in him. Now, of course, this ending doesn't come as a shock to most people today because this is a very famous and familiar story. But put yourself in Mary and Martha's shoes. How would they have expected this outcome? You know, they knew Jesus could heal people. That would seem to be why they asked him to come. But it was too late for that. Lazarus had already died. And we have record of other times when Jesus raised people from the dead, but those were all almost immediately after the person died, not 4 days later. And this is the only resurrection miracle that John records. So as far as the story in the Gospel of John is concerned, this was an unexpected outcome. Notice the result that Jesus prayed for and the result that he got. That people would believe in him. And of course, that doesn't mean believing that he existed. He was standing right in front of them. Instead, it was belief that God had sent him. Belief that he was who he said he was. The Son of God. And we need to acknowledge here, before we really get going, that belief is the primary point of this story. It's why it happened and it's why it's recorded for us. John says that's why he wrote the whole book, was so that we might believe. That's why we have this story. But that's not all that we can do with it. See, I didn't just tell you the story to notice some ancient people who were grieving and had some questions in their mind. You notice we left a few verses out. Now, it's partially a preacher trick to save time, but the other part of it is that there's some things we need to go get there. Things that can help us when we feel like saying, "Lord, if you had been here." So in this story, I see three ideas that we need to remember, and then one thing after that that we need to do. So let's get to it. The first thing that we need to understand from this story is this, that God works for his purposes. We see this in a couple of places. After Jesus was told about Lazarus being ill, look at what he said in verse 4. "But when Jesus heard this, he said, 'This sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it.'" He said this wasn't going to end in death, and of course it didn't end that way. But Lazarus still died. Mary and Martha still grieved those 4 days. Why would he let them suffer this way? Why not go and heal Lazarus before he died? Or why not send word that he was coming to raise him from the dead? Why allow the suffering? Because he wasn't working for their purposes. He was working for God's purposes. We see this idea again in Jesus' conversation with his disciples as they begin to make their way to Bethany. Jump down to verse 11. "After that, he said to them, 'Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him out of sleep.' The disciples then said to him, 'Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will recover.' Now, Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he was speaking of literal sleep. So Jesus then said to them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him.'" You see what Jesus is saying here? He intentionally delayed in going so that he might have the opportunity to raise Lazarus. He chose not to go and heal him, but to let him die. And let him stay in the ground 4 days before he arrived. We can see that the disciples didn't know Lazarus was dead, but Jesus did. He knew when it happened, and he still waited so that 4 days would pass. By doing that, he would make the miracle all the more impressive, all the more undeniable, and thus all the more powerful in accomplishing God's purpose in this, in bringing about belief. And it's interesting to me that Jesus says he was glad that he wasn't there to heal Lazarus. See, when he got there and encountered the mourners, he was still deeply moved and wept, but he was glad that it could happen this way because he was glad to accomplish God's purpose above anyone else's. And so when we find ourselves in a situation where we wonder what God is doing, we must remember that God works for his purposes in his own time and in his own way. Not for our purposes. And we see this idea throughout the Bible. It's not unique to this story. I think about Joseph as he languished away in an Egyptian prison. You think he ever wondered what was going on? And yet we know that through this entire story, God was working it out so that he could fulfill his promises that he had made. God was working through it all. And we know that God has not changed. He still works for his purposes and his purposes alone. Think about how this relates to prayer. While we can and should pray to God in these difficult situations, we can ask Jesus to come and heal Lazarus. Sometimes the answer will be that Lazarus has to die first. We believe in the power of prayer and that we ought to cast our anxieties on him because he cares for us. But we have to remember that God's purposes will come first every time. And so within this, there's the need to pray like Jesus did, that God's will would be done and not our own. God, may your purpose be accomplished in my life and not my own. So through it all, we have to trust that God is working for his purposes. That's the first thing. The second thing that I have for you helps us with the first, and it's this, that God's purposes are good. Think about how this worked in Lazarus' story. Lazarus himself had to suffer and die, and this family had to grieve over him. Where's the good? The good comes in the end. Because Lazarus' resurrection brought about a new depth of belief and faith to everyone involved. And that was the whole point, to bring about belief. We know it had an effect on Mary. In the very next chapter, she is anointing Jesus. A recognition of who he is. And the miracle surely had an impact on the disciples who saw it. We know verse 45 tells us that many people believed in this. In fact, we didn't get this far, but the effect of bringing about belief was so powerful that it was going to cause problems for the chief priests and the council. Look in verse 48. The chief priests and the Pharisees have convened a council, and in verse 48 they say, if we let him go on like this, all men will believe in him. Yeah, that's kind of the point. And the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. See, the effect of bringing about belief and making more people followers was so undeniable that they thought it would take away their place. Think about this. We're still talking about the miracle today. It helps us believe, too. Lazarus' sickness and death, the 4 days of mourning, and then that day when he walked out of the tomb. This whole story has been a part of building faith for nearly 2,000 years. So let me ask a difficult question now. Do you think God's purpose was better than Mary and Martha's purpose when they sent for Jesus? Not that their purpose was bad. It's a good thing to want your brother healed. But how much better was God's purpose? By allowing them to suffer a little while, they've now played an important role in the faith of countless saints. And so when we find ourselves stuck in these difficult, grievous situations, when we suspect that God's up to something, we can be at peace with it because we know that God's purposes are good. This is how we can endure great suffering. It's how Christians have endured suffering since the beginning. I think Peter talks about this same idea in 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 6, he writes this, "In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls." You see what he's saying? We can greatly rejoice and have this joy inexpressible, even through various trials, even trial by fire, to use his own metaphor. We can do that because of the good that comes out of it. See, when our faith is tried by difficulties, it is proven and even refined. It's made better. The good that comes out of it is worth it. But let me be clear here. Let me clarify that this does not mean that God will cause all of the difficulties in our life. This doesn't mean that. He may allow them, but he is not necessarily the cause. We know, it's clear that in a fallen world, sometimes bad things happen and there doesn't seem to be much rhyme or reason at all. But what we are saying is similar to what Paul said in Romans 8, that God can work and turn even the bad things into something good for those that love God. Through our faith, our trials and difficulties can be turned around to serve God's good purposes. And I think we have some good examples of that sitting among us this morning. If you weren't here last Sunday night, there's a recording on the website you need to go watch. Because Jerry Strode sat up here and talked to us that evening. And I may need him to correct me if I'm quoting him wrong, but I believe I remember him saying something like this, that if he had the choice in the matter to do this again or not, that he would. Not for the suffering, but for the good that came out of it. And think about what that good is. A new depth of belief, of faith, that was hardly even imaginable before. It's exactly the same good that came out of Lazarus' story, too. And I think we could say it's the same good coming out of the Bastard's story, too. God works for his purposes. And his purposes are good. But I understand that that does not make the difficulty any easier because we struggle to understand. We already read the passage where the disciples just didn't understand what Jesus was saying. But I think we can see this kind of misunderstanding or lack of understanding that we're talking about in Jesus' conversation with Martha. So back in John 11, at verse 21, when Martha has met Jesus, she then said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world." So we see that Martha began by acknowledging Jesus' power, that God will give you whatever you ask. With that in mind, Jesus says, "Your brother's going to rise again." He came out and told her what he was about to do. But she didn't understand. And so Jesus offered her this famous statement about himself: "I am the resurrection and the life. I have the power and authority to give not just life, but eternal life. And if that's the case, then surely bringing Lazarus back is no sweat. And so she confesses that she believes him, that he is the Son of God, the one who can do these things. I have believed. She says the right things. She believes the right things. But when they get to the tomb, it was Martha who warned him about the smell. She still didn't see what was coming. Just the same, we struggle to understand. We can believe all the right things about Jesus. We can trust that he is working for his good purposes and still struggle to understand what's going on around us. See, the challenge here goes back to what Jeff said to us a couple weeks ago from Esther's story with that famous line from Mordecai, "Who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for a time such as this?" Just like Mordecai, we have to say, "Who knows?" Because we don't get a divine commentary on our life that tells us when God is up to something. And even when we suspect that God is doing something, it's still hard to understand. But we have to learn to be okay with that. Perfect understanding is what God does. So we leave that to him. We have to be okay with not getting it. And part of the challenge here is that we may never live to get it. Mary and Martha got to see and understand why Jesus let Lazarus die, why he delayed in coming. But we may never know, at least not in this life. That's part of it. While we live in this world, we are going to struggle to understand. So what is it that we are supposed to do at the end of this? What do we do when we don't understand, but we trust that God works for his good purposes? It's this. We keep believing. In spite of all the difficulty, we must keep believing. In the difficulty, our response has to be Martha's response. Yes, Lord, I have believed, and I'm going to keep believing. And when we do believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, our lack of understanding, the problem there shrinks in size. It doesn't seem as much of a problem. Because if we believe that Jesus is the Christ, we can trust absolutely that God works for his good purposes, and that if we hold on, if we believe through the difficulty, we can trust that it will be okay in the end. And we can't forget that in the end looks past death. If death is the end, then we ought to despair. But since Jesus is the resurrection and the life, since he promises that everyone who believes in him, even us, will never die, then we can trust that even when we're up against physical death, we don't have to worry because true life awaits on the other side. But that's hard to do. When you're grieved and broken down, it is hard to trust God in this way. But that is what we must do. We must believe anyway because that is the only way to make good come out of a bad situation. If we give up, it just leads to more bad things. But if we hold on, there is an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Where could we go but to the Lord? And as Jerry and Matt have both said to us when they've talked to us, God is all we really have anyway. There is nowhere else to go. Believe in God. Believe that he works for his purposes. Believe that they are good purposes. And keep on believing, even when we don't understand. So if you've believed in God, but you need to do something with that belief today, you're going to have an opportunity in just a moment. If you need to confess that belief before us for the first time and repent of your sins and have all of those sins washed away in baptism, we would love to help you do that. But if you have done that, and you've struggled to keep believing through all the difficulty that we all face, we'd love to help you. There are many people who have been through the same. There is help awaiting you. And so if you need it, this is your moment. You can let us know by making your way to the front right now while we stand and sing.